Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Holy Thursday. It's Thursday, that's right, Holy Thursday, in the holiest of weeks. Great to be with you on this March 29th, moving into the most important weekend ever. And please remember that coming up, we will be carrying all of the important events from Rome and elsewhere. Coming up this weekend on EWTN Radio, for example, the Easter Vigil Mass live from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in our nation's capital. And then Holy Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio as well. And for a complete listing of all of our Holy Week and Easter programming, as Doug mentioned last week, go to EWTN.com/radio and click on the schedule. And don't forget, we're also carrying these on television as well, so you have both opportunities. Coming up on the program today, you have an opportunity to hear from the amazing, speaking of EWTN, Father Mitch Pacwa for our cultural connections. We are going to talk about the Triduum, and we're going to take a look, and this hit me the other day when I was praying about what to discuss with the good Padre. I was thinking about, you probably remember this, you can find it very easily on EWTN, but also just doing a Google search. I did it real quickly. There's a very powerful music video that the wonderful vocalist from Ireland, Dana, did many years ago, and it was entitled, This Is My Body. And she was, as the singer, as the character in this video, and kind of like this mini, I would say, play almost, or musical performance is a better way to describe it. She was really playing the role of Christ, talking about this is my body given up for you. And then there was another woman singing about her body, her choice. And the contrast between what Christ did on the cross and the attitude in our culture today, and this video is pretty old. I mean, it's, I think it's well over 15, at least 15, 20 years old, but it's beautifully done. But the contrast between the message from the pro-abortion industry and the government that was fighting for the restrictions to stay away from the abortion drug mifepristone, this happening, of course, in the Supreme Court earlier this week, and what we are marking in the Catholic Church, it kind of just hit me like a ton of bricks. So I thought we would do the comparison with Father Mitch Pacwa to help us remember, to remind ourselves the importance of what we are marking and celebrating this year and how we can make the most of the Triduum and, of course, Easter Sunday and Easter week and all of the Easter season. So that's coming up at 15 minutes past the hour with Father Mitch. And then I thought it would be great. I wanted to give you a shot in the arm, brothers and sisters, because sometimes I think it's easy to get caught up in all the negativity, and we look out in the world and we wonder, are we making any difference? Is anything that we're doing, you know, whether we're working at the parish level or in another type of ministry, or if you're working in Catholic media, whatever, witnessing to the pro-life movement, we look out in the culture and it's so lost and we think, oh, are we having an impact? Well, let me tell you, what you do by passing the word about what we do here at EWTN, Ave Maria, and all of our affiliates, we are making a difference. And I have proof of that, live proof. I had a beautiful email that I received from one of our listeners, Keith from Pennsylvania, who's going to be joining us to wrap up the program. And he was thanking me, but he was mainly thanking you, because none of us would be here without you and your support. He listens to Catholic Connection, Dr. Dave Anders. He listens all day long. He follows the Mass. He listens to Dr. Ray. Well, I'll try to get him away from that, but that's a whole other story. We'll just wait till he gets into the church and we'll tell him all about Dr. Ray. But don't tell Dr. Ray I said that. Anyway, just kidding. I love Dr. Ray. Seriously, I do. We are very good friends. We tease each other all the time, so don't take that seriously. But point is Keith definitely contributes in a very big way, EWTN and our affiliate programming, to his journey into the church, and he's going to explain. So I thought it would be a nice way to wrap up today, because tomorrow, obviously, we have Good Friday off. We're off Easter Monday. We're back on Tuesday. So when you hear his testimony, take that to heart and understand that what you do by praying for us, by supporting our affiliates, is making a huge difference in the lives of so many people, one person at a time. So there you go. Father Mitch Pacwa, and a beautiful testimony to wrap us up on a Thursday morning. Weather-wise, we do have some storms that are still impacting the country, so let's let you know what's going on before we get to the news on a Thursday. We have heavy rainfall and thunderstorms continuing through today along the southeast coast through the Carolinas, and then heavy to excessive rainfall could lead to some flash, urban, and small stream flooding. A strong winter storm will bring blizzard conditions to the Arctic coastline as well in Alaska through today. It is a Thursday, but not just any Thursday. It's Holy Thursday. It's 5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to EWTN. Time to check the news on this Holy Thursday. Well, two bereaved fathers, one an Israeli Jew and one a Palestinian Muslim, speaking to Vatican News about their meeting with the Holy Father yesterday, who thanked them for their witness of fraternity. After the Wednesday audience, they described that special encounter in an interview with Vatican News reporter Francesca Sabandatelli.
It was extremely exciting. It was I did not expect it to be like this. I didn't expect it to be so personal. And he hugged us, and when we showed him the picture of the girls, he almost cried. He was deeply touched. And then we gave him the book with a personal note, and the whole meeting was so merciful. I mean, so human. And we talked about the fact that I'm a Jew and he's a Muslim and he's a Christian and we are all humans and we can be brothers. And he asked us to pray for him. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree with every word, of course. It was a big surprise for us, to be honest. We expect to shake his hands, but yeah. not to call us for a private meeting. I was very inspired. It was very touching.
Rami Alilan is an Israeli Jew whose 13-year-old daughter Smadar was killed in a suicide bombing in Jerusalem back in 1997. And Basim Aramin, as you heard, is a Palestinian Muslim whose 10-year-old daughter was killed by an Israeli soldier. Abir was killed outside her school back in 2007. The two men are now very close friends, as Vatican News explains, and are very dedicated to each other and advocating for peace in Israel and Palestine. In the interview, both fathers praising Pope Francis and his efforts to put an end to the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza. The Holy Father has been calling for a ceasefire since October of last year, longer than almost any other world leader. In other news this morning, the state of Kansas is one step closer to banning controversial surgeries as well as hormones to minors. The Kansas House and Senate both approving the measure yesterday. The Senate bill, it's numbered 233, would prohibit, again, health care providers from allowing hormone treatment surgery as well as dangerous puberty blockers. The bodies of two construction workers have now been recovered from the Patapsco River after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Maryland State Police Superintendent Colonel Roland Butler says the victims' bodies were discovered at around 10 a.m. yesterday morning inside a red pickup truck in around 25 feet of water.
It took them a while to secure that vehicle properly, place airbags around the vehicle. Then it was very slow traveling to tow that vehicle to the shoreline. At some point, they realized that the water's depth would not support towing it all the way in. It was at that point the deceased were removed from the vehicle and brought to the shore.
The victims, now identified as 35-year-old Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes and 26-year-old Dorlian Roniel Castillo Cabrera. Authorities say it is no longer safe for recovery divers to navigate the wreckage, and efforts have shifted to a salvage operation. Now, following, they say, that salvage phase, divers will continue their efforts to recover the bodies of four additional construction workers who went missing in the bridge collapse. Meanwhile, Mark Mayfield tells us the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore is now being referred to as a major global crisis.
That's what Maryland Governor Wes Moore told reporters on Wednesday, noting the port is one of the busiest on the East Coast. He said the national and world economy depend on the Port of Baltimore, as it handled $80 billion in foreign cargo last year. The closure of the port also impacts thousands of jobs. Moore said the task of rebuilding the bridge and reopening the port will be real and daunting.
The National Transportation Safety Board, meanwhile, holding a meeting last night at a news conference to update some findings regarding the container ship that led to the collapse of the bridge. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy says the cargo manifest for the ship says it was carrying 56 containers or 764 tons of hazardous materials.
Corrosives, a number of flammable materials, and we have some miscellaneous. They fall under what is Class 9, which is miscellaneous hazardous materials, which is where the lithium-ion batteries would be.
And she also says some of the containers had been breached and adds that Sheen was identified on the waterway, and federal, state, and local authorities will be in charge of addressing that issue of possible pollution. Officials also giving a timeline leading up to the crash based on information from the ship's voyage data reporter. The NTSB saying a preliminary report is expected in 2 to 4 weeks, with a full investigation taking anywhere from 12 to 24 months. And Lisa G. tells us New York City and New Jersey ports are expecting increased traffic after that bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge is now blocking shipping access in and out of the Port of Baltimore. Due to the situation, Port Authority of New York and New Jersey officials now say cargo vessels will be diverted to other East Coast marine terminals, including New York and New Jersey. They say they're in contact with Baltimore officials and local ports are ready to assist if necessary. Ports available include Newark and Elizabeth in New Jersey and Howland Hook Marine Terminal in Staten Island.
Russian investigators are still receiving reports of missing people after the Moscow concert hall attack last week. 143 people are confirmed dead so far, but investigators say they've received more than 100 missing person reports. Russia's investigative committee published a list of names identifying those confirmed dead. It is not clear how many of those reported missing have actually been accounted for in the confirmed casualties. A late-night ruling that puts Texas's controversial immigration law on hold, not a surprise to conservative activists who have been watching how a series of lawsuits are now playing out.
This is one of the worst panels that the state of Texas could have drawn to hear its request to stay the preliminary injunction.
Art Arthur with the Center for Immigration Studies says a ruling keeps the law on hold, at least for now. It allows local police to arrest anyone they believe crossed the border illegally. Opponents sued, claiming that only the federal government can enforce immigration laws. Former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman has died at the age of 82. He was the Democratic nominee for vice president back in 2000 under Al Gore. He passed away in New York City following complications from a fall. A four-term U.S. senator, Lieberman was the first Jewish American candidate on the national ticket of a major party. His family said in a statement he died surrounded by members of his family. Lieberman was deeply rooted in foreign affairs, becoming one of the legislative fathers of the Department of Homeland Security. And strap in for an explosive 2024 Atlantic hurricane season. AccuWeather lead hurricane forecaster Alex DeSilva says last year the Atlantic recorded the warmest sea surface temperatures to date.
And right now we are already outpacing 2023. So if we stay on this trajectory, 2024 we'll see the warmest Atlantic basin on record.
And that means, he says, you can expect more powerful storms, especially as we transition this summer from El Nino to La Nina. He's predicting a supercharged season with 20 to 25 named storms, including 8 to 12 hurricanes, four of them he expects to be major hurricanes. A bill that would require funeral directors in Colorado to be licensed is now making its way through the state legislature. It was approved this week by a Senate committee and now is advancing to the next phase.
You don't think about when you look in a phone book or Google when you're finding a funeral home to think if they're regulated. So to find out after this situation came up, they aren't regulated or licensed, it was shocking.
That was Samantha Naranjo, who's been pushing for more requirements for funeral directors and whose grandmother was identified inside the Return to Nature funeral home in Penrose, Colorado. The owners of the funeral home are being accused of improperly storing 19 bodies, and they're facing charges such as abuse of a corpse. The bill requires funeral directors to have a license, graduate from an approved mortuary science school, pass the arts section of the National Board Examination, and be an apprentice for at least a year. And Colorado, by the way, is the only state in the nation that does not require people to be qualified to handle human remains. The group behind the latest recall efforts against California Governor Gavin Newsom receiving approval to begin collecting more than a million signatures around the Golden State.
We're at the top of every bad list and at the bottom of every important list. We're at the bottom in educating our students. We have the highest crime, the highest homelessness, the highest number of homeless veterans.
Ann Dunsmore with Rescue California saying they already have received 75,000 requests to help gather signatures for the recall effort. The group saying the governor has led the state to a $73 billion budget deficit, as you heard, while being more concerned about national issues instead of problems in their home state of California. Natalie Migliori tells us a New Jersey couple is at the center of a $4.5 million romance scam.
The U.S. Attorney for the District of New Jersey says at least 100 victims were left broke and heartbroken from the scam that lasted 3 years. Former Maple Shade residents Martin Sfrade in Alegwu and Stacy Matthew are the husband and wife pair who admitted to meeting their victims by using online dating and social media websites. asking the people they were chatting with to send them money for made-up emergencies. They then sent that money to co-conspirators' bank accounts in Turkey and Nigeria, managing to dodge income taxes. Authorities say the duo also ran an apartment rental scam.
It is a Thursday, but not just any Thursday, Holy Thursday, of course. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN, great program, both on radio and TV and online. Check it all out, EWTN.com. 15 minutes past the hour, brothers and sisters, beautiful to be with you today. Again, thanks for tuning in. Father Mitch Pacwa with our Cultural Connections up next. Stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Bishop Earl Boyer of the Diocese of Lansing. We have now entered Holy Week. Starting on Holy Thursday, let us be present at the Lord's Supper to witness Christ's institution of the Holy Eucharist and sacred priesthood. On Good Friday, may we mourn our Lord's execution. Then at the Easter Vigil, we will proclaim his glorious resurrection. These 3 days changed history, and they can change our lives as well.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete. The deal clincher is we found our way to our parish, and we met just an incredible pastor. We learned things that we'd never been taught. Wouldn't be the person that I am without the church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
18 minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection with EWTN. It's a Thursday, not just any Thursday, Holy Thursday. Father Mitch Pacwa with our Cultural Connections, a noted theologian, author, scripture scholar, and EWTN host. Father, great to have you with us every Thursday, especially on this Holy Thursday. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you all, too.
Well, Father, quickly, I wanted to take us back, go into a time capsule. Years ago, and I think you would remember this, there was a beautiful musical video that the wonderful artist Dana did, and it was a woman who was post-abortive and also a woman appealing to Christ. You know what I'm talking about. And then also in this same video was a woman talking about my body, my choice, and then Dana talking about this is my body. And that came to mind. We're going to play a little bit of this a little bit later in our interview. It came to mind thinking about here we are in Holy Week, Holy Thursday today, but what happened earlier in the Supreme Court is so indicative of our culture in it's all about me and my body. I was just wondering if you could talk about that a little bit this morning.
Yeah, the Supreme Court is trying to deal with another issue, which is the use of a pill that was actually, as I understand it, was made for something else, but it's an abortifacient at the early stages. So it causes an abortion at the early stages of development. And this is something that is being promoted by a lot of politicians. And so now it's come to the Supreme Court because it is at times being sent to different women in the mail so they can take it at home. And this is, of course, problematic on a number of levels. One of the concerns, of course, is that the child dies. That's and the recognition of the importance of life from the moment life begins, which is at conception, not in the third month or at birth or any other time. That child's full DNA is present and at conception, and no more DNA will be put in there. So this is, taking the life of a child, and It's being promoted by a lot of people as a way to maintain women's freedom, especially in those states where abortion has been made illegal. A number of states have opted to put the right to an abortion in their constitution. Michigan has done that, as I understand, and Ohio. Other states don't allow abortion. So it's being sent by mail. And the judges are taking a look at this, and the problem with doing this in the court system is they have to look at the issue through the lens of who has standing to bring a case to anybody else. You know, why are these people suing? They have to look at how does this, making the pill available, the pill that does an abortion, how does that harm you? If it doesn't harm you, and this case includes some doctors, then you don't have standing. That is an official reason to pursue this case. So these are the kind of issues that we're having. And meanwhile, through all of this, we have politicians who are running for office at different levels of the government saying that I will make sure that you can have an abortion. This becomes their key moral stance, that to make that you should vote for me. My re-election depends on you being able to have an abortion. And this is, using an anti-life approach towards, the future of the country. And this is something that makes me, of course, sad, but also makes it clear to me, because there are a lot of Catholics who agree mm-hmm. with this being available, because they see the issue not as one of protecting the life of the unborn, but as having a right to make that decision. And even if they don't agree with it, they said, I can't take away somebody else's right to have this pill to abort their baby.
We're going to talk more about this with Father Mitch Pacwa. It's Holy Thursday. This is my body. Christ gave it up for us. What are we giving up for him? We'll be right back.
It's not up to you. I will decide. This is my body. And I alone will choose. If this life within me lives or dies, this is my body. I'll do what I must do. This is my life. I will not sacrifice my life for you.
My body given up for you, that you might live eternally.
It is an absolutely beautiful video, and you can find it very easily. Just do a Google search for This Is My Body, Dana EWTN. We'll put a link to it as well in the Catholic Connection. Father, I think, and you remember that video, it really says it all, especially for this week, correct?
Absolutely, in so many ways, absolutely. Because it is important for us to today is Holy Thursday, and in the face of so many, Catholics, I just saw a survey, Catholics have the lowest rate of church attendance right now. This is a horrible situation. But we, you know, what, I don't care if you're, who you're mad at, today we celebrate the washing of the feet and the giving of the Holy Eucharist, where Christ said to a piece of bread, "This is my body." And we treat the Holy Eucharist with, you know, incredible respect and love. And we adore Christ because he did become flesh. And if we can show this type of respect and love for Jesus in the Holy Sacrament, then the same needs to be for the bodies of our children. He's the one who says, "Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me." And this is a point that all of us need to remember whenever we see anybody at a time when one man very wickedly has gone on a murder spree, stabbing people. You know, this week, a cop at a traffic stop is shot in the stomach and killed. And all, and those are the murders that make it to the news. We see this disrespect for human life at every stage. And, you know, while politicians can argue about gun control and that, we see that the issue is a disrespect for human life at the very outset. You cannot replace a life that has died. Every unique individual is precious in God's sight and needs to be precious in ours. And just as we worship the body of Christ because it's his whole person, his body, blood, soul, and divinity present in the most blessed sacrament, we can then take a look at the bodies of children. Even, you know, many of these embryos that are going to be aborted are smaller than a host. Others are, you know, larger. And, you know, we say, look, I can recognize by the eyes of faith that this is a this is the body of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit inspires me to recognize Jesus Christ in this most blessed sacrament. And Christians over the centuries have given their lives to defend the blessed sacrament from desecration. We also can and must extend the same kind of loving respect to the bodies of children in the womb, that he says, if you treat them with, you know, disregard, if you kill them, you kill Jesus. You, God takes our attitude toward the least people as an attitude toward him. And I, when any politician promotes abortion, when any doctor promotes abortion, and when family members push another family member to abort a child in their own womb, we are saying, I reject Jesus. This is where my rejection of Jesus begins. It's not only in missing church attendance and not just avoiding these Holy Week services. It is at every level that we are rejecting Jesus. And yeah, some, you know, plenty of us priests and bishops are fools and we don't do things you like and all that. That is an irrelevancy compared to the need for Jesus Christ and to come to him and to make a commitment to our Lord in faith and to make a commitment to the least of his brethren, whether they're in the womb, whether they are on drugs and poor, and all the other least of Jesus' brethren, to make that commitment to the good and needs of the least is something that Jesus also will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Father because of the way you treated the least of the brethren. And when a woman is in a crisis of pregnancy for all kinds of reasons, we are going to treat her as Christ. We consider her precious in Jesus. And her education is not as important, her career is not as important as the life of another human being. Oh, this is what Christ taught us. What you do to the least of my brethren, do to me. Not what you do to my accomplishments. My accomplishments are can be wonderful things, but human beings and other concerns of human life take precedence over our accomplishments. This is a tough lesson for our world, but I think it's an extremely important one.
And Father, it's an extremely important one during Holy Week, especially as we are entering the Triduum, and of course we have the Mass this evening, the Chrism Mass today for the priests and the bishops. Holy Father already celebrated that in Rome, and then tomorrow the Good Friday services. And I want to wish you a beautiful Easter weekend, a beautiful Triduum, and thank you for all that you do, Father, and really, just you're such a light in the world and on EWTN. Have a beautiful, beautiful, as we say in Bella Italia, Buona Pasqua.
Yeah,
we'll be right back. We have a beautiful story. Thanks, Father. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week. Father Mitch Pacwa, up next, a story I think that's going to warm your heart and make you feel really good about supporting EWTN. Stay tuned. Minutes past the hour. This is very special for me, and I know it's going to be special for you. Look, brothers and sisters, it's very simple. We could not do what we do without your support, whether you're supporting us, and I hope you support both EWTN and your local affiliate, but you are making a difference. And so I thought it would be a great way to wrap up our Holy Thursday special edition today, because tomorrow we're off for Good Friday, and then, of course, Easter Monday, and God willing, we'll be back with you live on Tuesday to give an example of the importance of always remembering, right, that you can make a difference. Always remember to give a defense of the hope that is within you, but to do it with gentleness and reverence. So on the phone with me is a new friend. His name is Keith, Keith Clater. He's from Pennsylvania, and he emailed me several days ago, so we've been having this back-and-forth wonderful conversation. And thanks be to God, and congratulations to him and his family. He is coming into the church this weekend at the Easter Vigil. Keith, thank you for sharing your journey. Let's start with when you first started to think about becoming Catholic. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. This is amazing. I really didn't look to to become a convert. I was simply looking online to find something that I could listen to in the morning. I wanted to hear a church service while I worked in the morning. I thought it would be a mm-hmm. great way to start my day. And I found EWTN through a Google search. And although I grew up Lutheran, I thought, well, I'm going to give this a try and listen to it. And this was in 2016, actually, just a few days before the passing of Mother Angelica. So there was a lot going on. And the Mass that I was hearing every morning was just beautiful. And speaking of the saints and the angels and our Holy Mother, and it was like the roof was pulled back and you could see the stars for the first time. It just drew me in. And so every day that I'd listen to it, and there'd be a feast day, I would study the saint for the day. I would read about the angels and everything that was being spoke about in the Mass. And there was just so much to learn, and it's been 8 years, and there's still so much to learn. But the Mass was really where it all started, and I realized that a lot of the things that I had learned over the years as a Protestant about the Catholic Church was really not correct. And so I just took a deep dive through EWTN, listening to the Mass, and then obviously moving into Catholic Connection, where your news reporting initially was what captivated me, because you don't hear that side too many places. The only frustrating thing is I wish everybody could hear it the way that you bring that to us. And then, of course, all of your interviews that you do, like the one that you just had with Father Mitch, it just teaches you so much. And unfortunately, the church that I had gone, that I was going to all my life, the governing body, continued to move towards the left. And as I saw that creeping in to our liturgies, I just decided that there was a reason why I was brought to EWTN, and the reason was I was supposed to become a Catholic, and that is happening this Saturday night.
Wow. So what does it feel like? I mean, because you've been on this journey now for several years, and I understand through the email you sent, the beautiful email and the wonderful exchange we've been having, your wife came into the church first, correct?
She did, yes. When she was in college, she used to go to Catholic Mass because there was a Catholic church near her apartment. And she loved it so much that she always wanted to become Catholic. So when I started talking to her about the fact that I was listening to EWTN and learning so much, and that I'd like to, you know, check out a Catholic Mass for myself, she became very excited. Our kids were out of the house at that point, and she said, "Would you mind if I converted?" And I said, "Absolutely not." So she converted first, and 3 years later, which is now, I'm doing it myself. I started in September with RCIA.
Wow. So in terms of some of the issues you had with the church, were you able to quickly, it sounds like, being able to experience a Mass via the radio every morning and the various programs you listen to throughout the day, that you were able to blow through those pretty quickly in terms of the education and the catechism?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the RCIA and, I think, listening to Catholic radio. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Keith, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay,
can
go
you
ahead.
Me?
No, I was just saying catechesis. Yeah, yes, catechesis through RCIA, but also listening to Catholic radio. That obviously aided you in getting through some of the struggles you had with Catholicism, correct?
It certainly did. I've learned an awful lot through, like, David Anders, for example. That's like taking a crash course. Father Mitch, listening to him is amazing. I often have to stop and rewind and listen to him again and again. But yes, I learned so much, and then the RCIA classes themselves were terrific, just for me to connect to the parish that I'm attending.
What message would you give? And by the way, if you're just joining us on a Thursday morning, Holy Thursday edition of Catholic Connection, we're talking with Keith Clater from Pennsylvania. He is coming into the church this weekend and gives a lot of the credit to you, brothers and sisters, who are supporting EWTN and our affiliates, because it's made a difference in his journey. What message would you send to people listening? And you and I were talking about this in email, that sometimes you feel you're not making a difference. But for the people out there who donate, who listen, who pray for us, what would you say to them?
Well, I'm surprised that I'm one of the few maybe that had sent you an email to thank you. I would encourage everybody out there who's listening, who has a similar story, to send it to you, obviously. I mean, I think you all need to know that even though you feel like you're swimming upstream, we're there swimming with you. We just might not be sending you the encouragement that you need. And I would really hope that people would take to their computers and shoot, whether it's you or whomever is encouraging them in their faith, that they would send them an email to say thank you. That would be my hope for the people that are listening.
Is there a particular aspect of Catholicism, obviously the body and blood of Christ, but what else is it that you love so much about the Catholic Church, if you could tell us?
Well, it was like the roof was opened up and you can see the stars. There's just a whole dimension to the faith that I hadn't experienced before, and it's really hard for me to, I guess it's hard for me to relay that, because we didn't have all of these things, and the connection obviously to our Holy Mother, which we never had to this degree, it's very difficult to put it into words, but it's just a whole new dimension that that I've been experiencing, and now that I'm in the middle of it, it's overwhelming in some cases. It's overwhelming emotionally.
Well, how's your wife feel about all this? She must be just thrilled.
Oh, she is. She's my sponsor. She's very happy.
Oh. That's great. Well, Keith, I can't thank you enough. I know this is a very personal story, but first of all, for sharing it with me, and I just want to encourage the folks out there, and this is a very, very important time of year. Ave Maria Radio has our membership drive a week from Monday. Many of our affiliates around the country have fundraisers as well. It's springtime. We're trying to stay on the air, and we always rely on our listeners, because we don't want to be relying on advertisers and the messages from the culture. So, again, brothers and sisters, as you head to the services this week, think about Keith. Think about others like him, because we always say in the business and media, if one person writes us, and they say this in politics as well, there's usually anywhere from like 20 to 50, even as many as 100 people that feel the same way. So you don't have to write to me. I mean, we appreciate that, and I so appreciate Keith's email, but I just want you to think about that. And so don't be shy about praying for and supporting what we do here at EWTN and all of our affiliates, whether it's Ave Maria, whether it's Guadalupe Radio, wherever you are. If you have an EWTN affiliate in your backyard, Keith is a perfect example of what you're doing. You are making that difference, because we wouldn't be here without you. That's why Michael Warsaw, our CEO, comes on and talks about hello family, because you're family. And this is a real important weekend for all of us as family. Keith, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much, and we're going to be praying for you. You have to send some pictures I want to see from Saturday, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, and I can't wait to hear about how the journey continues. We'll be right back. Our friend Keith Clater from Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, and my husband's home state, who's a graduate of Penn State, by the way, and from Scranton. Keith is from another area, but it's a beautiful state, beautiful people. And thanks to the good state of Pennsylvania for all their support and their pro-life work as well. We'll be right back and have some final comments on this Holy Thursday. Stay tuned. Walk through the doors of Cantora Italian Market in Plymouth, and you are instantly transported to Italy. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomio, and you can choose from a curated assortment of unique food and wines that you won't find at your local supermarket. Fresh handmade pasta, gourmet wine and cheese made from scratch bread and desserts, and high-quality meats and poultry. Don't forget to stop for lunch or dinner at the attached award-winning restaurant. For directions, visit CantoroMarket.com. That's CantoroMarket.com.
Modern philosophers Kierkegaard, Shelley, Sartre proposed the idea that existence precedes essence, by which they meant, in simpler terms, that in the process of time we make or create who and what we are. We understand, of course, that there are those who believe that their doing has been more successful than that of others, and have consequently argued that their being is on a higher state than that of others. This is the kind of thinking that leads to genocide, gas chambers, and abortion clinics. However, folks like Barb and Patrick and Paul and Alicia believe that from the beginning human essence is divinely ordered and infinitely valuable, and where else can we state this more clearly than our defense of freeborn children, who cannot prove themselves or justify themselves. They can only be, which is why they are so precious to one named I Am. Go to GuadalupeWorkers.org.
My wife Janet's ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, but we never knew that the Catholic missionaries arrived in Florida 50 years earlier. Visit the site where the cross was first planted, where Mass was celebrated, and the first Marian shrine in the New World. Renew baptismal vows in the cathedral and its first baptismal font. Hope you can join us in La Florida, the land of flowers.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Minutes past the hour on Holy Thursday, and just a reminder to check out all the great programming that we're going to be carrying for you this weekend and beyond as we move into Easter week. Next week, we have the Mass in the Basilica on Saturday, and of course, we'll carry it on the radio twice on Saturday, EWTN.com. We're also going to be covering from EWTN Television and all the different events in Rome. We'll be covering the Colosseum and the Stations of the Cross, my absolute favorite event that they cover. Now, I love the Mass, and I love the message of the Holy Father, and I love the Mass in St. Peter's Square, but I am telling you, there is something about the Colosseum and the Cross and the people walking and the meditations, by the way, which the Holy Father is writing, I believe, for tomorrow night, that image of all the people in the huge city of Rome with their candles and being very quiet and very peaceful. It just, as I was telling my listeners earlier in the first hour, as well as I mentioned it to you, I believe, at the top of the hour, that it really just touches my heart. So one of the things I would recommend for you to do this weekend, and this is just my suggestion, you're adults, you're faithful people, but I would really try to concentrate on focusing on media that deal with these incredible days in Holy Week. I think a real good example is you might want to pull out your DVD, dust it off, or maybe you have it recorded in another way. Maybe you have it on your computer. Maybe you'd like to watch The Passion of the Christ again. That has become a tradition for many people and a very good one, because I think that is such an incredibly historically significant film in terms of really detailing the suffering of our Lord on the cross and his journey. So that's one thing to do. Obviously, as we mentioned, listen to us, stay here, listen to the radio, watch TV, go to the website, and spend some time, some extra time in the readings. We did the readings for tonight's Mass. We did them, obviously, this morning before the show. And so when we go to Mass this evening, and my spiritual director got me started on this years ago, to do the Mass readings before the Mass, and then bring it with you and get to Mass early and start reading them again. And so by the time you hear them, you'll be hearing it maybe a little bit differently the second or the third time, and you'll even grow in your understanding of that scripture. So maybe, of course, Bishop Robert Barron has been talking about this a lot in his last few presentations online, about bringing yourself into the Passion of the Christ. And we know that as a Lectio Divina, right? To picture yourself when you're reading a particular passage of scripture, to picture yourself in that particular setting with our Lord as he makes his way along the cross. I did do an interview yesterday with Steve Ray that we're going to be airing sometime during the Easter season when we have some time off, where he looked at all the people at the foot of the cross from Scripture. And we have a link on our archives from yesterday in the first hour of the program. That will be one thing you could do. Go back and listen to the first hour of Catholic Connection yesterday, where Steve takes us to the foot of the cross. So just a suggestion, you probably have your own beautiful things that you like to do, traditions you like to do, but stay close to us, because we're trying to help you stay close to Jesus and to the Blessed Mother. And as my mom Rosie used to always say, especially with Good Friday coming up tomorrow, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross. And Mother Angelica said that time and time again, the cross is not negotiable, sweetheart. Everyone is going to suffer, but Jesus gives that suffering meaning and purpose. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So wishing you, from me and Deacon, a beautiful, beautiful Buona Pasqua, as they say in Bella Italia. Happy Easter. I look forward to regrouping with you, God willing, on Tuesday. And feel free to email me, maybe with some thoughts or some prayers. And again, don't ever think that you're not making a difference. When you pray for us, when you support us, you are making a huge difference. Not just for your own edification and Catholic education, but you heard Keith's story. For all those Keiths out there and so many others, you are making a difference. Have a beautiful Easter. God willing, talk to you on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AVEMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.